Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter number 15. We're going to go there for tonight's message, the Gospel of John, chapter number 15. It's good to hear their voices, isn't it? I like doing this. We may do a little bit of this during our missions emphasis month. I talked to most of the folks that we're going to talk to tonight, or either earlier today or yesterday, and I told them, I said, you know, I'm glad for the letters and I'm glad for the prayer cards, but every once in a while we just need, I think, to hear a real voice and be reminded these are real people. And praise the Lord for what is being done around the world through missions efforts. Let's all stand, give you a chance to stretch a little bit here. John chapter number 15, and I'm going to begin reading verse number 1. John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful and thankful, Lord, for your blessing upon us here, Lord. Now, in another year, we pause now. And Lord, we're getting ready to just in a little while exit 2008 and enter a new year, new opportunities. But it would just be wrong. We would be remiss if we didn't stop and look back and with a thankful heart say to our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for providing and caring for us and helping us and blessing us, Lord, as we have sought to serve you. And Lord, I pray as we focus now towards a new year that you'll allow us, Lord, to abound in the work. Help us, Lord, in this matter of fruit bearing, that you would allow us to be blessed in ways that we can't even imagine right now. And Lord, throughout the year, if you'll do so, we promise to give you the glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This new year and the new theme and what God's done in my heart in preparations for 2009 keeps bringing me, when I pick up my Bible, it keeps bringing me back to fruit-bearing passages. And so we're going to spend some time in those passages throughout this year. I believe that God, as I mentioned here just last Sunday night, is a God that presents specific formulas. He's a God of order. He has precepts and principles that he states and sets forth, and if we follow them, I think I've said this many times, but I just feel like sometimes we make the Christian life a lot more complicated than we have to. You know, God doesn't have a bunch of mysterious secrets that he hides and we have to spend our life begging him to reveal to us so that we'll know what to do. He's given us a book with very plain commands. He gives us order. He gives us formulas. And if we're not succeeding, it's not because God's not on the throne and not willing to bless. I was thinking this when I got on a little bit of a rampage last Sunday night about this, but folks, we've just gotten away from the basics. We've just wanted to redefine what Christianity is, and we want to create it in our image instead of going back and finding out what God wants us to do. There's way too much shallow, meaningless, empty. Branch of fundamentalism that's been infected by the charismatic movement and the evangelicals to the point where, you know what, all they are is an updated version of the 700 Club. I mean, they are. It's just shallow emptiness. It's a bunch of fluff with no substance and no real results. You know, folks, you can have big gatherings and not have one changed life. And so I want to just go back to the Bible. I want to hit reset buttons in our life here at Blessed Hope. I want to just keep going back and saying, God, what did you say? What's your commands? What's your will? What do we need to do here at this church in order to see to it that we are a fruit-bearing church? Because I believe that when it's all said and done, folks, it's not the type of buildings and how fancy they are. It's not a person or a personality. You know what it is? It's how much fruit was produced and how much fruit that was produced remains. And that's what I want to focus on. And so this is what we're going to do. Now, I want to remind you in introduction. Let me just read verse 1 and 2, and then I'm going to read also verse 5 through 8. I believe God is serious about this matter of requiring fruit from his children. He's serious about it. And I want to remind you that here on the entry, as we enter a new year, I want to hit that reset button. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what's the next three words? Is God lying? Well, wait a minute. What if you're a 20-year veteran Christian or a 25-year veteran Christian, and 15 years of it was fruit-bearing, but the last 5 or 10, you just sat around? Can God say, well, they used to, so I'll leave them? I think we need a wake-up call. Forgive me, but God's not really concerned right now about what you did 10 years ago. He wants to know what you're doing now for the kingdom of God. I can't serve him, Brother Derek, for the first 20 years of my Christian life and then just rest on my laurels the rest and talk about the first 20 years. I'm saying in 2009, God wants us to bear fruit. In 2009, he's going to do fruit inspection of our lives. He wants to see some things produced. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And here he is saying, you know what? You want to get to the point in your Christian life where you disconnect? And you disconnect from the Lord and you decide that, you know what, you're just going to put it on cruise control and go to the finish line, and you're not worried about your spiritual life. You're not worried about making a spiritual impact. God said, "Yo, I'll break that branch off and pile it up, and we'll just have a little weenie roast." Now, let me just say this. You can say, well, God's mean. God's not mean. Shame on us for taking advantage of his goodness. He provides for us. He loves us. He died for us. He's given us the greatest story to tell. And shame on us for sitting around mute mouth about it and not investing in the kingdom of God. But God is saying this, and I believe it's true. And if I was cruel enough and mean enough, I could call names that you'd know. But I believe there's times where God's just looked down and said, you know what? You're a child of God, and you want to live opposite of the Bible, and you want to bring shame to the name of Christ, and you're not interested a bit in producing any fruit for the kingdom of God. And I believe he's taken some away. And you know what? There's not a Christian down here that can level an accusation against God. If anything, I've been astounded at the long-term mercy of God. Almost every person that I could call their name, God gave them grace upon grace upon grace upon grace and extension upon extension before he said, that's enough. But I believe that the Lord is not going to be made a fool of. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. You know, shame on us. Shame on us. Now that means that I better take a look at what kind of fruit I produced in 2008, and I had to take a hard look at what I'm doing, what I'm producing. And if I'm not doing much, I better get busy. God has a right to expect fruit. I believe fruit bearing affects your lifespan. You know why fruit bearing is important? It plucks sinners out of a devil's hell. Fruit bearing brings glory to God. Listen, I believe a crop. You talk to these farmers. You know, if you want to see something interesting, and this is one of the reasons that you can't get around anywhere in Green Sullivan County when the crops are growing, because every farmer on the road drives 15 miles an hour past everybody else's fields just to see what the other guy's crops are doing. And let me say this. A crop is a direct reflection on the farmer. And you know what we're reflecting on? We're reflecting on the Lord Jesus Christ. The produce is a direct reflection upon the ability and skill of the gardener. And I think what we ought to do is understand that God takes this matter serious. Now, let me just establish that point first of all. The seriousness of fruit bearing. God's been good to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He's allowed us to have facilities here. He's allowed us to be put in a key situation and position where we had the chance to reach into three different counties and impact a large part of three different counties. God didn't invest everything He's invested in this church for us to sit around and do nothing for the Lord. And so this is a serious thing. I believe not only does God sometimes cut off and cast away individuals, I think He does that to churches. I think He does that to ministries. Do you understand, folks, that it's a rare, rare thing to find any church that for any long length of time, I'm talking about over 40 or 50 years, continued to have the blessing of God and productivity and an impact? What tends to happen is we're born in revival and we get busy doing the basics, and then we grow to a point, and then we begin to get satisfied, and sometimes leadership changes and focus changes, and usually within 40 or 50 years, Ichabod's written on that church, and God has to spring up a brand new work to reach the same area. I'm bringing this to your attention because you need to know that we celebrated our 35th anniversary. We have, if we're going to stay a fruit-bearing church that's on track and standing for the fundamentals and not drift away and not... And listen, then somebody up here behind this pulpit has to keep reminding and talking about it and stirring people up. And you know what? Some people in the pews got to stop just staring blankly back and get excited about this idea and realize that I'm fighting for the future of this church. Now we need you out soul winning. We need you out visiting. We need you joining bus routes. We need more nursing homes. Preachers, we need you to start going across the road and talking to your neighbors. We need you to start carrying gospel tracts again. Hey, you say, well, brother dear, that's old stuff. Amen. Yes, it worked in 1973. It worked in 1974. It worked in 1975. It'll still work today. You know what? We don't need some brand new formula. The old way still works. It's just we don't work it. Now, This is what we're talking about. This is a serious thing. You know, just because Blessed Hope Baptist Church is written on the name of a sign doesn't mean that God is under any obligation to bless this ministry as He has in the past. We need laborers coming to the harvest now. We need new recruits coming in now. We need people stepping up now. And we need some that isn't doing it anymore. I'm not talking about you can't because of health or you can't because of that. I'm talking about you just stopped. To get back in. Get back in and help us out. And let's see a great year. Now, let me point out just a handful of things. We'll take just a few minutes, but I hope this will help you. I want to give our church some essentials. I want to just point out some things in this passage concerning fruit bearing. Now, if we're going to be a fruit bearing church, we must be a church that abides in Christ. A church that abides in Jesus Christ. Verse 5 and 6. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Let me give this to you. Don't miss this. Please don't miss this. Your relationship to Christ is paramount. Your relationship to Christ is paramount. I can get you busy in the work of the Lord, but if you do not have a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, you will not produce any kind of fruit that's going to mean much for eternity. Now, I'm not just up here trying to enlist a bunch of new laborers. I'm up here trying to enlist a bunch of people to get back in touch with Jesus Christ. We've got to abide in Him. We've got to abide in Him. The only chance the branch has to bear fruit is if it's solidly and in a very healthy way connected to the vine. And so I need to walk with Jesus Christ. I need to love Him. I need to have a relationship with Him. I need to talk with Him. I need to study His Word. I need to let His characteristics grow in me. I need to abide in Christ. Now, let me encourage each and every one of you. Let's talk about this a minute. This is where the rubber meets the road. Are you walking with God? Is Jesus Christ the best friend that you have? Do you walk with Him? Do you talk with Him throughout the day? Do you whisper to Him? Do you ask Him for direction? Do you ask Him for wisdom? Listen, who is it in your life that you're closer to than Christ? That person's an idol. Christ is supposed to be paramount. The wife said, well, I thought my husband ought to be. No, Christ is paramount. Well, I thought my wife. No, Christ is paramount. Well, I thought my children. No, Christ is paramount. Nothing's more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm going to tell you, we need to stir each other up over this thing. Spend time in His book. Spend time talking with Him, walking with Him, communing with Him. Make Him your greatest hero. Study His life. Mimic everything He says and does. Let Christ be formed in you. A church must abide in Christ to bear fruit. Look at verse number 2. Watch this. Understand this. Number 2, a church must be purged by the Father to increase fruit bearing. Purged by the Father. Verse number 2, it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Can I say this? In 2008, this church bore fruit. I'm asking God to allow us to bear more fruit. So do you understand if I'm asking that, and if you're asking that, and that becomes our prayer, do you know what is going to have to happen to Blessed Hope Baptist Church? I love this. It's my wife. She's like, don't tell people that it's me. That was fun. Amen. Do you realize what we're asking? You realize when you pray that, Lord, I want to be used in a way that I've never been used before. Lord, I want our church to bear fruit like it's never. Do you realize what we are asking the Lord? The only way that we can bear more fruit is to be purged. Now, I don't know what you think of that, but that doesn't mean that we need to have a backdoor revival. It doesn't mean that we need to get rid of a bunch of people. I believe that's talking about individually in each of our lives. Sometimes God has to cut away some things that's keeping us from bearing the maximum amount of fruit. Now, folks, anybody ever been in that process? I've trimmed some trees. I've cut back some plants. Let me tell you what you use. You use a sharp instrument. You know what you do? You seemingly damage the plant. You seemingly cause hurt to the plant. But it's temporary and it's necessary. Because the end product is that there's going to be an increased amount of fruit. Now, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you right now. You set a theme like this in front of a church and you get them excited about it and you get them headed for it. I'm just telling you, folks, not every day is going to be rosy in the lives of the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Satan's not going to sit back and say, oh boy, look at that. There's a group of people in Jasonville get excited about seeing more fruit than they've ever seen before and abounding in the work. And he's just going to say, well, you know what? There's nothing I can do. I'm just going to give up on those three counties and turn them over to the Christians. No, we quit, but he doesn't. Sometimes we back up, but he doesn't. And what I'm saying is this, there's going to be purging. There's going to be purging in my life. There's going to be purging in your life. Sometimes it's going to be things that we don't understand. But God's going to do some cutting back. And you know what? If you'll let it, it will cause you to be more fruitful than any other time you've ever been in your life. So I wanted to get up here and tell you the purging's a part of the increased fruit bearing. Look, if you will, in verse number 3. I'm going to keep moving here, stay on schedule. But look at verse 3. A church, number 1, must abide in Christ. A church must be purged by the Father. A church must be cleansed by the Word. Cleansed by the Word. Look at verse 3. Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Look at verse 7 and 8. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now, what happens to a church that stays a fruit-bearing church, not just for the first 10 years, first 20 years, first 30 or 35 years, but long-term? We've got to keep the emphasis right. Christ is all in all. Let's exalt Jesus Christ. Let's Amen. Abide in Christ. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Amen. It's not about the preacher. It's about Jesus. It's not about the deacons. It's about Jesus. It's not about one or two families in the church. It's about Jesus. Amen. He deserves the preeminence. Amen. It's not about you getting your way. It's about him getting his way. And so you show me a ministry where a personality becomes more prominent than the Savior, and I'll show you a ministry whose time is short. So we abide in Christ. Then we go through purging. It's necessary. Then we must be cleansed by the Word. Now, we're going to preach the Word of God here. Okay, that's what we're going to do. Hey, Brother Jerry, what have you got planned for the pulpit this year? Just a steady diet, solid diet of teaching and preaching the Word of God. There's nothing that'll clean us up better than the Word of God. There's nothing that'll scrub us down harder than the Word of God. I mean, it's like lye soap and a Brillo pad, and we need it. Clean us up. Just let the Word of God clean you up. Listen, don't bristle when the Word of God's preached. Be glad it's preached. Let it get the dirt out of your life. Church must be cleansed by the Word in order to bear fruit. Now listen to me, Blessed Hope. I have never, nor will I ever, judge the success of a sermon by the number of people that are at an altar afterwards. I'm sorry, I'm not a kid preacher. I've grown past that. But it bothers me to death when you won't let the Word of God ever do anything in your life. The Bible is meant to clean us up. And we've got to be willing in 2009 to just put everything on the table. Say, Lord, tell you what, you take the Bible and you point at something and you say, that needs to go and it's gone, Lord, it's gone. I'll get rid of it. If you take the Bible and you point at something and say, that needs to change, then it's changed, Lord. I'm not going to fuss with you. I'm not going to fight over it. I'm just going to change it. You know what? Boy, independent Funwell Baptists can be some of the most stubborn, bullheaded people in the world. We can. We're so used to standing and being determined about the right things, sometimes we can just be downright stubborn about the wrong things. So be careful. I mean, let the Lord use His Word to deal with you throughout this year. We're going to preach some things. We're going to preach some hard things. Listen, this isn't a milkshake and whipped cream pulpit. I'm not here, you know, this isn't DQ Dairy Queen, you know. What's your favorite treat? We need to grill meat here. We need to make men's food and man's food and mature Christian food and we need to feed steak here. I like steak. I like a milkshake, but you know what? You can't field an army on milkshakes. They're not going to have any stay power. You got to feed them grub. Say, what's grub? You know what grub is. Grub's the stuff that after you've eaten it, you know it for a while. It sticks right there to you. Gives you strength. Gives you stamina. Some things are hard. Some things you have to chew on for a while. You have to break down. But you know what? They're going to go inside of you if you'll absorb them, and they're going to bring you to full maturity in the Lord. So a church must be cleansed by the word in order to bear fruit. Let's let the Bible do what it needs to do in each of our lives this year. Let me give you another thought here. A church, well, we've hopefully made some progress here. A church must discover the power of prayer in order to bear fruit. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. What a powerful promise. Verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I think it's always interesting what part of a verse we want to grab out and use as a magic wand and without looking at what it just said. Well, I like that. Genie in a bottle. Just rub the lantern, the genie comes out, and whatever I ask God, no, that's not what it says. It says, ye have chosen me, and I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now, in the context of that command, he's saying that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You know what I found out? I found out in my life that God's real good at answering my prayer and giving me what I need as long as I stay busy trying to bear fruit for him. And the things that I'm going to ask are connected to helping me bear fruit. They're not selfish things. They're not asking for a bunch of foolishness that's going to distract me in the things of this world. More toys to take my time. I mean, we need some buses around here. We need another new bus. I told you the story of how we got that last one. That was crazy. I was driving down to see Ron Allen, and we've been looking for a bus off and on all summer. And I drove down to see him, was driving back, and looked over the side of the road, and there's a big bus parked right in this empty field beside the road. And I thought, I just drove through here 2 hours ago. Was I blind? I pulled around, turned around, went up there, got the phone number, called it. And he said, man, I wasn't there 30 minutes ago parking that bus for selling that lot. You know what? I believe God answers our prayers to help us to bear fruit. You know why I believe that building's there? You know why I think God answered the prayer of this preacher and the people of this church and saying, God, provide our needs and help us? He didn't do it so that we could have guests come in and take them on a tour so that they could see our new facility. No, you know what that's to be used for? To bring people into the kingdom. To train disciples to serve the Lord with all of their heart. It's to be used for fruit bearing. And that's what it's about. Now listen, folks. We need to discover, and hopefully we have, the power of prayer. In order to bear fruit, that's what we have. You know, I sat in my office. I almost brought him out here, and I didn't. But I sat in my office this afternoon, and I told Brother Reiser, I don't know, most of the year he did this. I said, listen, anytime we have a praise report come in, I said, I just want you to throw it in this little slot. And I sat there in my office and held over 200, in my hand, over 200 slips that's been turned in this year of people that said, I asked for something in prayer to be read from the pulpit, and I want to let the people know God answered my prayer. I sat there with them in my hand. I read through every single one of them and just had a hallelujah praise fit. You know, there was over... Now listen, and let me just say this, and listen, I'm probably guilty of it, and you probably are too. But we tend to be like more like the 9 lepers that don't remember to say thank you than the one that did. I'm not talking about I held all the prayer requests this year. I held just the praise reports. But I did a quick count when I went through there. You know, 25 different surgeries where people went in for surgery, was prayed for from this pulpit, and 25. Now, we prayed for a lot more than that. Some of y'all didn't come back and say thank you. But 25 at least people said, I asked prayer for a miracle in a surgery, and you know what? God did it, and he healed, and he helped, and they're better. And I can't even tell you how many of them just on sicknesses. There was seven different prayer requests that said, so-and-so went in for a scan where they were convinced they had cancer, and it came back, there was no cancer. Now, what I want this year to do for you is convince you that God is a prayer-answering God. And if he'll answer these type of prayer requests, And he's a God that loves lost people more than any of us. Don't you think if we're praying in connection to fruit bearing, he's going to help us out?
Yes,
God wants to see souls saved more than we want to see souls saved. So church, we've got to continue in this. Listen, we had 2008, the year of prayer, but that was just a primer. That was just a learning experience. We can't lay that aside. We can't ever lay that aside. Even as we change themes and as we take the church in a strong direction in fruit bearing, you watch your preacher this year. We will regularly continue to start and strengthen prayer ministries at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Because, buddy, I know where the power is. And it's not in this guy right here. And it's not in this group right here. It's in God, Jehovah God, our omnipotent, Heavenly Father. That's where the power is. Now, let me give you the last one. A church, well, I want to give you this. I want you to hear it. A church must abide in Christ, must be purged by the Father, must be cleansed by the Word, must discover the power of prayer, but a church must be committed to obeying the command of Christ. Watch this. To love one another in order to bear fruit. A church must be committed to obeying the command of Christ to love one another in order to bear fruit. Look at verse 9. And as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Look at verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Now look up here, church, and then we're going to finish. This is not just an optional ingredient to a fruit-bearing church. If I had the power, I mean, if I could just say, if God just came down like he did to Solomon right now at this moment and said, ask what you want, I'd say before midnight strikes tonight, I would pray to God that every single person at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that has an ought or a grudge or a dislike or something they're holding against another family or individual in this church, that it would be right before midnight strikes. Yeah, but you don't know. I don't have to know. I know what I did to Christ, and I know what you did to Christ, and he loves you and he forgives you. Now, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to bring up? I'm talking about within sometimes families. Things need to be laid to rest. Don't come to my office again. I don't want to hear about what happened 15 years ago. At some point, let it die. Come on. And 14, and 13 and a half, and 13, and 12 and three quarters, and 12 and a half years ago, and 12 and a quarter. I don't care. You're wasting another day by bringing up a bunch of junk from yesterday. And God's giving you a fresh opportunity in a new year. It's 2009. You know what? Why don't you just start over? Why don't you just say, you know what, I'm going to get thoroughly and completely right with God and right with my brothers and sisters, and I'm going to forgive and I'm going to forget and I'm going to go on, and I'm going to be worried about what we can do from this point on, not what we didn't do past back there somewhere. I mean it. I think we are foolish to allow God to beat us to death with our past or somebody else's past. Now, I say this now, I don't think people believe it, but I promise you it's true. This preacher loves every single family in this church, every individual in this church. There's not one person that walks in that back door that I don't look towards with a heart of genuine love. If you heard me pray for you, I want to record it. If you knew how much I want good for you, how many times I stand before God and plead for the blessings of God upon you and yours. I'm not going to waste my life holding grudges. I'm not going to waste my life on, well, you know what? 15 years ago, they said this about my little girl. Grow up. I mean it. Grow up. Man, there's a world dying and going to hell. Now you say, Brother Jerry, why is that important? I'm telling you why it's important. I'll tell you why it's important. Lost person walks in the back of that door right there and walks in this auditorium. If there's a bunch of people that are in discord and a bunch of envy and a bunch of strife and a bunch of wrath, lost people can sense it. And it hinders the power of the Holy Spirit of God in working in people's lives. And as a preacher, I'm just kind of sick of that. But I'm not holding back. I'm up here swinging. I'm giving everything I got. But you know what? I can't control all of the atmosphere of what goes on in this church. Now, I'm talking about some 20-year-olds and some 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds and 50-year-old that needs to grow up. You just need to forgive somebody. You just need to realize, guess what? You're not little Mr. or Miss Perfect either. God's had to forgive you of a few things this year, excuse me. You know, you're not yet wrapped in robes of righteousness. I'm so sick of this haughty look down my nose at some of the other members of the church. I'm up here and they're down here mentality. It makes me want to puke. It does. It makes me want to puke, and I think it makes God sick too. You're not better than anybody else around here. Nor you anybody worse than anybody else around here. You know what? We're all just going and growing together. And yeah, some people are at different growth stages, but that oughtn't affect our love for anybody. That ought to make us love them more. And by the way, if you're so far advanced from everybody else, then your love ought to be that much farther advanced. Now, the truth is, you're way behind the curve if you're walking around with this kind of elementary Christianity. Amen. I mean, sometimes in a youth group it happens. You get this teenager, don't like that teenager. I mean, amongst kids. Kids. I thought all kids got along. I mean, they're going to have their little spats, but you know what? I'll tell you what the problem is. They're listening to mom and dad talk about that other family. I'm talking about young couples and young adults. Good night. You're all Christian. You're all saved, and yet half of you bicker back and forth, and I'm friends with this one. You know, that's a bunch of junk. Good night. There's more unity and more bars than there is in most independent fundamental Baptist churches, and that's a shame. It's probably true, but it's a shame. Now, do you think this is a gigantic problem here? No. Thank God I don't think it is. I think this, for the most part, is a pretty close, tight group of loving people. But I guarantee you, folks, you let that little thing start getting in and growing. And you know what it'll do? I don't care how much we work. We bring new converts here, lost people in. They're going to sit through a few services. They're going to watch somebody give somebody a look or somebody make a snide remark in the nursery or in the foyer about saying, you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, I don't need this junk. They're just like the world. Why am I knocking myself out coming here? This is no different. People don't love each other here. Now listen, folks. Boy, it's just time to get with that. Get on your knees and ask the love of Jesus Christ to just flood your soul. God, give me a love, an extra special love for people that maybe up to this point I haven't cared that much about. You know, you shouldn't have a list of members in your mind that, you know what, I'll do for them and I'll come to their stuff and I'll be involved if it's them, but on this group I'm not going to. That's as wicked as hell. Just as wicked as hell. Good night. You know, it's just time to put some of that aside. Secrets of a fruit-bearing church. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd stir our hearts. Lord, help us to check on our relationship with you. May we abide in Christ. May we be lost in Christ. May we immerse ourselves in the person of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you'd allow us to understand, Lord, that there's times when we have to be purged. Lord, it's not always going to be fun, and sometimes it's going to hurt. But God, it's necessary. Please, Lord, just do it. Just do it so that we can bear more fruit. Lord, help us to be cleansed by the Word. Help us to stay, Lord, on fire over this matter of prayer. And God, may we exhibit the love of Jesus Christ. May the world see it the way we treat and interact with each other. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that this message will help settle some things and help us in some things in our lives here tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name.